loyalty would be tested. This was in 1986. And I was not even an elder yet. But Bob and Fred, they were elders already. And so when you walk in divine order, your loyalty will be tested more than you ever dreamed. I mean, everybody looks at walking in the kingdom as something really fascinating and extraordinary, and you'll love it. It's just exciting. It is. It really is. But the walk with God is completely upon you. It don't depend on your pastor or the people around you. It depends on you to be responsible to what the Father is saying to your spirit, for you to walk in the order of God that He's positioned you in. See, that's the key of it all right there. And as elders, we've had a pretty tough time submitting to our position. But Bob and I were studying, and he went over this a little bit in about David. And you have to have a covenant heart. You have to make a covenant between you and what God has set you in. And that's for every one of us. That's for Luke and Daniel. For everybody that's at the sound of my voice, this is for you. Because, see, we have learned the order of God. We have, don't get me wrong, now we haven't learned it all. But we're learning. We're learning. Like Bob said, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. We've stumbled, we've failed, we've scraped our knees. And Zena and I, we've been talking about this. Because, see, the order is very hard for you to subject yourself to. But the key of it is, and the key for this body now, and the reason why we're here is because God wants to establish His order in every one of you. He wants you to take your position, and He wants you to receive His glory there. See, each house increases with glory. You read that all the way through the Bible. And now this house that we stand in, this body, God wants to allow you to walk in the greatest glory you've ever walked in your life. That's His desire for us. That's what God wants to do for every one of us. But what is our position? Philip has his position over here. What's he doing? Let me tell you what. You all have just been so gracious to us. You have given us like we're family. You know, some of my family don't treat me this good. You know what I mean? But we're closer than family because we're the body of Christ. You and I, we love one another with a special love, see? And that desire, when you have that special desire, even from across the world, when we come together in submission to you, I submit to you, you submit to me, there's a love that the Lord instills there that is greater than anything that you'll ever see in the world. And that is His desire. When I first met this brother back here, the Lord gave me a word for him. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I know he was going through some struggles at that time. That was in 2000 when we first came over here. And the Lord told me to tell him. He says, tell this brother that it's going to be broken. And he came up and told me, he says, I wanted to know what the Word said. And I wanted him to break it to where I could see what the Word of God meant. And last night, a prayer come out of him last night. It was just anointed of the Spirit. See, God wants us to take our position. And Bob and I and Fred, the elders at this church, we've been going through some things. This past year has been just trouble. But you know what? GC gave us a scripture, and I'm going to read it to you. In Isaiah 63, I just want to read this real quick to you. This is so beautiful. And I just want to be led by the Spirit. If I can't be led by the Spirit, and the anointing does not direct me, I'm going to sit down and let one of you share. But what I'm saying, what I'm sharing with you is from the Spirit within me. And this Spirit is going to connect with your spirit, and God's going to touch you and give you what your desire is today if you want Him to. Every one of you, every one of you that I look into your eyes and I see you, God is going to give you your desire to where you can be established in the Word. And you can take your place, and you can do what God wants you to do. And you just don't realize what I'm teaching you here is what Pastor has taught us. And as I share this with you, and as you learn this, it's just going to bless your pastor. Because see, this is the order. This is the order of the Word. But listen at this, and this is the scripture that GC gave us New Year's night. And it's in Isaiah 63:4, it says, For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Let me tell you what. This scripture is like he pasted it on my forehead. Because the first part, and he said, the first part of this year is going to be, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be tough. But listen at the rest of it. It says, and the year of my redeemed has come. I'm going to tell you, that day, the first part of this year, my wife's mother, she has Parkinson's disease. She became a little more ill than she had been. We had to put, on Christmas weekend, we were with her mom in the hospital, getting her ready to go into a nursing home. So that wasn't a real Christmas to us. Not as everybody thinks of it. Here then, her stepdad has lung cancer. His doctor diagnosed him with pneumonia. He goes back to another doctor. This doctor, he has lung cancer. He had lung surgery. And then during that time, she got very sick, and we had her in the emergency room for 2 days. So I'm standing here at the emergency room looking at, Lord, what is going on? Am I not your anointed? I mean, you know, I got in one of those pity parties. You know what I'm saying? And let me tell you what, that pity is one spirit we don't want in our churches. We do not want to see nothing about pity, because pity will destroy what God has the anointing for you. So do not allow pity to move in on you. And it almost come in the service one day at our church. And just so happens, Sammy was the lucky guy up there teaching. And someone had one of these pitiful little songs they wanted to sing. And they sang it. And GC stood up and said, this spirit is not coming in this church. And here I was going. But you know, I took that because how did I receive it? I received it here. I received it in my flesh. In my mind. And what did it do to me? Made me mad. I reared up against it. And so I went home. I said, man, I just don't like what happened here. But see, Pastor has seen enough of it. And what he's doing is instilling in you and in me how to walk in the order of God, to where when those things come against us, we can rebuke them. We can stand under the anointing of God. You yourself can take the order and you can put this thing under your feet. Just as he said, where was the moon in the 12th chapter of Revelation? It was under her feet. See, you have that authority because you are the anointed of God. You are the power of God. You are what God has ordained you to do. But the thing of it is, we got to know our position. Bob and I have done, I mean, we just shared on this, our last meeting we had. We felt like we were just the left out of the bunch, you know. All the ministry comes through, they minister, and me and him trying to figure out, now, what are we supposed to be doing? And Bob said something that was so real to me. He says, Sammy, we have to take our position. And when he said that, there was a light that went off inside of me, but yet I thought it was. But that was my problem, I was thinking. I had to really stop and get down and let the Spirit speak to me and say, Sammy, you're an elder. You're a bishop. You're a pastor in this body. And the Word told me, the Word says, now sit and take your position as an elder. And I read about David, what David did. All his brothers were standing here in front of Samuel, ready to be anointed king. They were ready to get the anointing all put on them, and all of them were in line. But where was, Samuel says, you got one more son. Where's your son at? He's tending the sheep. See, that's God's desire for me, to tend the sheep. And so what my desire is for today is for me to touch you, for the Spirit of God to minister life to you in whatever position God has got you seated in. If it's washing dishes, GC told me when they, in latter rain, when they were being trained to be apostles and prophets and going to the school of the prophets, the first thing they would have to do is when they come in, they were ready for some great work, and that was to go clean the bathroom. So that was their great work. So see, but you know what? If you do it under the anointing, it's the greatest job you've ever had. And see, that's what God is developing in this elder ministry at our church. He is developing that in us, that whatever God sets us in. So I realized, as a sheep herder, I'm to tend to the sheep. And that should be the most exciting thing, because David loved it. That was His desire. Because He sat under the moon and the stars at night and He spoke. He spoke to God. And God gave Him strength over everything that come against Him. And see, but then He already had a plan to make Him king. God has a plan to make kings and priests on this earth now. But yet, our thinking pattern is in the natural mode, in the fleshly mode, and God wants you to come up. He wants you to come up in a position to where He can touch you with a touch on your lips and you'll never speak this junk anymore. I tell you, that's my exciting desire. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do, is just walk in a door wherever we go now. Whatever God desires for us to do. And we're so... I just lost my job this past year. And you say, oh man, that's terrible. Well, it was, and it was great. I mean, financially it's been tough. But you know what? I learned, and GC has been trying his best to teach me this. But you got to develop it yourself. He can't do it for me. I can't do it for you. But you've got to realize you've got to give up everything you are and let Him have His way with you. And so I found out then, I said, Lord, this is what I trust You now. I trust You. And I'm learning that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not walking 100% in it. I make a lot of mistakes in this now. But you know what? I've come to a place in the Father now that even though I don't have enough to pay this bill or that bill, I am trusting God. He is faithful because I've given to God what I'm supposed to give. And I've went over abundantly and give Him in the tithes and the offering. And God is blessing us. He's opened the storehouse for us. See, and that's what He wants to do. And I've got a scripture I want to read to you. And this is so neat because it goes in line with what God is trying to teach. Well, I don't want to say trying. What God is teaching us. What God is teaching His people. And this is an end time people here. I've been with you when I first met you in 2000. There's a special spirit here. There's a special love that I've not seen in a lot of churches. And I tell you, we've been in a few churches. And you guys have a unique love. When I see Zena up here singing before the Lord and leading you in song, she's given everything she has to it. See, and that's what God wants out of us. He wants us to give Him everything we are. And when we do that, He's got you where He wants you. He'll train you. But go with me, please, to Luke 21. And I've got something I want to show you after we read this. Luke 21, verse 1. And He looked up, and this was Jesus, and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And He saw also a certain poor widow casting thither two mites. And listen to what He says. And He said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. Now I want you to see this. This poor little widow. Here before you see the wheels, everybody that, you know, they were going up and they were dumping in a little of their money in. These were the rich guys. These were the ones that had it all. At least they thought they had it all. Because they had a natural substance. But see, that's the key. How are you giving? See, if you give in the set that, well, this is coming out of my pocket, my checkbook, my bank account, you're already giving in the wrong mind. See, and that's what Pastor is teaching us. He's teaching us that you're giving out of the abundance of what God has given you. And I praise Him for that. Listen to the rest of this. This is so wonderful. He says, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. And I got something to show you after we read this. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And it was two mites. And I'm going to show you something. This is an authentic mite that she used, she cast in two mites. And I can pass these around to you, but these are authentic. These come back from that day. And look at this. This is all she had, y'all. This is all this poor little widow had. And it was everything she had. And she put it in the treasury. And so Jesus says, look at this kind of faith. See, He is wanting to develop in us that everything we have is His. Listen, and when you get to that place, and this is the place that I've not seen a lot of men on this earth walk in that. I've heard them talk about it. But I've seen my pastor walk that way. And that's the way he walks. And when he receives an offering, he's not receiving it for himself. He is receiving it because he loves to teach divine order and the order of God, that he wants you to be blessed 100-fold in what you do in your life. That's what God's desire is for us. And there's not a lot of people on that earth that are walking in that. But yet God wants to teach us this. He wants to show you how to walk in the abundance of God. And it's hard. It's hard, but you know what you got to do? You just got to let it go. We got to let it go. And my wife, she's the business lady of the family. I'm just going to tell you. And see, I don't look at the checkbook, because I'd probably be like her if I did. Oh, golly. You know, but she allows me the grace to be able to not have to look at it. She allows me to be the man of faith that I'm supposed to be and learn and develop to trust God and let Him have it all. And see, that's what God is saying to you today. Because what He wants to do, He wants to open up the storehouse to where we can speak a word and claim this property over here for this church. To where you can open the doors of glory and you'll have rooms. And heck, you'll build a building over there. You'll build a sanctuary. And then God's got great plans for this body. But you got to open yourself up. And it's not opening yourself up to Andrew or to the elders or whatever. You're opening yourself up to God. And I'm learning so much. And He has showed us an order. How that as elders, we have to sit in our position as David did. So here, he says, bring David in. Bring the last son in. I want to see him. And he was the scrawniest looking one out of the bunch. You know what? So that shows me that God has no desire in looking at what you look like. Or how big you are. How great your stature is. He wants you to look right inside of your heart there. And He wants to open that heart up. And He wants to release such glory that we love one another with a love that's unspeakable and full of glory. He wants us to minister to one another to where we can lift each other. And as we lift the body up, it just makes your pastor look that much like he's really doing what God's expecting him to do. And he is. But see, that's what's so beautiful. And GC, man, GC will go on a trip. And when he goes somewhere, you know, everybody in most regular churches, well, this guy's going to preach. This guy's going to do this. This guy's going to do that. GC leaves and says, I'll see y'all later. I'll be back next week. He don't say nothing. We just follow the order. And one of the brothers says, well, you know what? I have a word. And then we submit ourselves to that word. So we have to submit ourselves to one another. I have learned more this last year since I lost my job. But yet I'm starting a business for myself. And Andrew, you guys have prayed over it. I trust God for it. Things are going to work for it. And even if it doesn't, I'm trusting God for it. I'm trusting God to open the doors. And last week, GC said, I walked in the church and he said, how are things going this week? It was just like he looked at me and knew that God opened the door for me that week and I had a good week. See, but that's what God wants to do for every one of us. I know Philip right now. He's not working on it. Thank God he's working with Andrew. But see, let me tell you what. God cares for us. He cares for us, and He wants you to cast your cares on Him. You don't have to cast them on the pastor. He's got enough on his plate, you know. That's why GC says what he does about us. But yet, you know what? When I stand here before you, and share the word with you and break bread with you. That's what we're doing. We were in there breaking bread, but you and I are breaking bread right now. but it's a gracious bread that the Lord has ordained us to share with you. And as I'm sharing with you, the apostolic authority that I sit under is being shared with you. See, that's why when somebody calls and says, hey, come see me at the hospital, pastor calls one of us. He's going to send one of us out because that's what we are. We're the elder body. See, and that's what Andrew and Grace are going to be expecting to see developed here because of what God has done in this meeting. See, so just get ready, folks. And every one of you are servants. I see a servant spirit on everyone that's here. Philip and the boys, they've just been so great, man. They've took us everywhere. Oh, man, Zena has just been like a sister. Everything we've needed, you guys have graciously give to us. Ken and I and Bob and Fred, we went on a wonderful walk. I mean, that was wonderful. That was spirit to spirit. We just shared, you know, and just enjoying what God has given us. We've got to turn the way we look at life and realize that it is a gift of God. We've got to turn this thing around and realize He wants you to see Him as He is. And then He wants us to speak the oracles of God to one another. Lift one another up and speak life to each other. I want to share something with you that was so beautiful. GC touched on this a little bit. But if you would go with me to Matthew 21. Now, excuse me, Matthew 1. I'm sorry, Matthew 1. Andrew, just cut us off, brother, whenever you get ready. But this, in verse 17, I want to show you something. And GC started ministering on this some. And this is just so unique to me. And I'm going to share with you about what the Lord has been showing me on this. So in Matthew 1, verse 17, it says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away of Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now, if you do, here you got the genealogy right here. You can read them all. You see 14 from Abraham unto David. There's 14 there. You can count them, but I mean, we won't do it right now. Then from David unto the carrying away from Babylon are 14. But from Babylon unto Christ, there's just 13. Count them. But I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you where this generation is. Because we're missing one. I know a lot of theologians say, well, they just left one out. No, God does not leave anything out. God does everything right. God, the Word of God is correct. But I want to show you something. Go with me to Psalms 22. I want to show you something that is so neat. And when you get back, I want you to read these. I want you to read the Matthew 1. But listen at this. Psalms 22, we're going to read verses 30 and 31. It says here, a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. So the word seed and generation in the Greek is the same word. Okay? But listen to this. They shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born. So this people has not been born here yet. Because this is a prophecy. That He hath done this. So I want to show you something. This is so beautiful. Because, see, a seed shall serve Him. And it shall be counted unto Him as a generation. So this generation, you read that there was 13 there in the last. We want to find this last generation. But it says here, let's go to Isaiah 53:8. I want to show you something here. This is what's so beautiful. Praise His name forevermore. And I want to share something with you before we read these scriptures in Isaiah 53. And we're going to start at verse 8. But it says, if you do a little research on Jewish culture, that if you don't procreate, that it's considered as a curse. So what they're saying here, that Jesus died naturally and never did produce. But see, you've got to see what was going on here, because what's happening is what God is showing you in this verse right here. Listen at this. It says, He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare His generation? Oh my God, listen at that. Who shall declare His generation? And who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. Listen at this. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When Thou shall make His soul an offering for sin, look, He shall see His seed. See, Jesus died. He died not producing natural, but He died to produce seed. He died to produce a generation in this time that would be the generation that God had called. It would be this generation that we're missing in here. Listen at this. It says, He shall prolong His days through a generation. Through this generation. And this is the 42nd generation that God is talking about. See, this is what God is so beautiful, how God operates. He shows us what He wants to do. He expects us to understand His Word. And listen to what He says. He shall prolong His days. How? He was gone. Through His seed. Through His generation. Through those that are called into this generation. And what's so beautiful, this generation is not a 40-year period. Brothers, anybody in this room, if you're 100 or 20, if you're in Christ, you are this generation. If you're in Christ. Listen at this. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. God always gives you an example of how the order of God is going to be. Let's go to Genesis 3. I want to read this to you real quick. Genesis 3:15. This just links up so beautiful. Hallelujah. Genesis 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So see, this relates to exactly what's going on about this generation that is coming to produce life. A generation of now listen, let's go to Matthew 1:18. I know I'm skipping around here a bit, but I want to show you what this connects with. Hallelujah. Okay, we read 17 about the generations. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother, see, the order had changed. From all, see, the generations of Jesus Christ, Abraham begot, all these, the order changed in 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. It's now been, the seed is being produced from the woman. See, and this is what's so cool about this. I love this word, because God's order, His generation is that this 42nd generation is for everyone that is in Christ. Listen to us. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3 real quick. I want to read this to you. This just all links up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now you see that word is seed, not seeds. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. See, we are this 42nd generation. This is what God has ordained in this time. You're that generation that He has called out. You're the missing generation that was in Matthew 1 there in 17, where there was only 13. You're the ones that God has called to walk in the Christ. In Christed ones is what we are. I tell you, I'm so excited about the day that we walk in. If you look at situations, man, you're going to be in the wrong position. But if you look at what God is saying to us and what He is doing in your life, you're going to see something that is so beautiful. And I know I'm running around here, but I want to read you something else here. Let's go to Isaiah 9. Praise His name. Hallelujah. And verse 6. And I had never seen this until I started linking all this up. And I said, man, this is just so neat. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Okay, I've seen that. I've always caught that. Counselor. I've always seen that he's going to be Counselor. The Mighty God. But here he's prophesying of Jesus, and what's he calling him here? He calls him the Everlasting Father. See, so he has a seed. He produced life. But he had to die to where this life could be produced in a people in this end time. And that's the 42nd generation. That is the Christ generation. And you know what? In here, what's it say? There's not another generation. It is the 42nd generation. He don't talk about a 43rd. You are the 42nd generation. Brother, that's what we are. We are the Christed ones. We are what God has called us to be. And listen at John 3 and 6. I want to read this to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't think it's strange. Don't look at what's being taught by the apostle and what God is doing in our lives. Let your spirit exceed and hear what He's saying to us. I praise Him today. Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again. We've got to be born again to be able to walk in what God has ordained us to walk in. I want to share another verse with you in Isaiah chapter 8. And this is so cool, because this makes me think about these young people here and the way that your music is going on. The kids are being developed, and it's up to us to develop them, to help them walk. And you know what? I'm so thankful, because my daughter has never known a traditional world. She's always sat under Apostle McCurry. She's sat under an anointed word. And I tell you, when your kids come up and they're not under tradition, and they don't see, what's the word say? It says the traditions of men have made the word of God of none effect. We don't want that in our kids' lives. We want them to walk under anointing when they're in their schools and they hear something taught in the school that's wrong. They know that they've been taught under the anointed word. That don't line up with the word. So I'm not accepting it. See, a lot of people question, how do you know what's right and what's wrong? Well, if you're developed, and you sit under an apostolic authority in a church that teaches divine order, your children are going to be reared in that. And when somebody does say something that's not in line with it, they're going to know. They're going to say, that's not right. Listen at this scripture. Praise His name. It says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion, in the heaven, in the highest position. See, your children are set. We just got to teach them what God wants us to teach them. He wants us to give them the order of God. And it's your position now to bring them up and rear them up in it. Because these kids are so good, man. They just amaze me. When I first met them in 2000, there's just a special spirit about them. And they listen to you. They do what you ask of them. And they're always here to try to help us. I mean, they're even quiet in the motel room where we can go to sleep. That's amazing. but you... Andrew's showing a fist right here. But I know better. I know better, see? You see. And that's what GC has taught us, that we see behind what God is doing, what He's saying. I want to read one more scripture with you. I'm going to close here. Let's go to Isaiah 53. And you all know this scripture. This amazes me here. That He says He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And I think about what my position is as an elder and a pastor in the church is to minister to the lambs, to look after the lambs and the sheep. And my desire is to lift you up and to bring you where God wants you and let you see that even if you're just someone sitting on a pew and you're sitting under the Word, that God wants you to do that to the best of your ability in Him. And you know what? We subject ourselves to our pastors and to the ministry in the body. Don't get upset. Don't get jealous. Jealousy is just something that will ruin. We've been dealing with one of our, I guess, a fellow church in Orlando, and we've seen things happen there that have just broken our hearts. And when a lot of churches will, you know, I've heard the old saying that the Christian army is the only one that kills its wounded. And you know how that is? People talk about one another. You know, there's no reason for that. We're the body of Christ. We're to lift one another up. We're to love one another. So, you know, I've heard GC about some of the things that's going on down there. He says, I've really been in deep prayer about what's going on. Because, see, we don't want to see anyone fall to the wayside and lose out on this great glory that God's got for us. And see, that's the only way you can come into this, because who did He set in front of Him? He says, who's going to be the first in your kingdom? And He had a little child. See, we've got to change the way we think and the way we see and the way we talk. And we've got to start ministering love and life to the body of Christ. GC's really been hitting on that here lately. And I'm just going to tell you, He's talking about a virgin church. And you know what? That virgin church is amazing. And I tell you what, I want to learn more about it, because He's just started on this past year. God just speaks to the brother's heart so much, but I want you to think about that little lady, that this is all she had. And I look at the substance that we all have now on this earth. And look at what we have. Every one of us has got more in our pockets of 100 times more than this. But yet she gave everything she had. And this is what they look like. They took these little coins and they put them in strippers and this is the way they patted them out. And I think about this little lady gave everything she did, and Jesus saw that that was the greatest thing that he saw at that time. I want you to bow your heads with me and pray right now. Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. We just thank You, Lord, for Your anointing and Your power. And Lord, there are ones here today, Father, that are hungry, Lord, that are seeking Your Word, Father, and want to understand everything, Lord, that's being taught in this day. But Lord, we don't want them to see something wrong. We don't want them to hear a wrong sound. We want them to hear a clear trump from You, Father. And Lord, let us learn from You. Let us just sit down together, Father, and break bread. And if we have questions, let us ask the ones above us the questions, Father. And if they have to ask the question, we can find out from the apostle or whoever that is around us, Father. But let us do it in love. and humility and come together as one and search Your Word out, Father. We praise You for everyone here today, Father. I thank You for them. I thank You for this body. I just love You that they've ministered to us the way they have. We just love everyone here and we just praise You. We lift You to the Lord and I pray He bless every one of you 100-fold in everything you do. And we praise God and we just claim it done in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen.